In the days of the kings, Amraphel of Shinar, Arioch of Elasar, Chedor, Lamer of Elam, and Tidal of Golem, they made war on the kings of Bela of Sodom, Birsha of Gomorrah, Shinab of Admah, and Shemeber of Zeboim, and the kings of Bela, that is, Zoar. The latter joined together as allies in the valley of Siddim, which is now the Dead Sea of Salt. 12 years they had served the Chedar Laomer, but in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year, Chedor Laomer and the kings who were with him attacked and subdued the Rephaim in Ashtaroth, Karnaim, in Zuzim, in Ham, the Emim in Shavah, Kiriathaim, and the Horites in Mount Seir as far as El Paran, which was on the border of the wilderness. Then they turned back and came to Am Mishpat, which is now is Kadesh, and subdued all the country of the Amalekites, also the Amorites who dwell in Hazazon Tamar. Then the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboam, and Bela, that is, Zoar, went out, and together they joined in battle with those kings in the valley of Siddim, with the kings of Chedor, Laomer of Elam, Tidal of Goim, and Amraphel of Shinar, and Arioch of Elasar, 4 kings against 5. Now the valley of Siddim was full of slime, or bitumen pits, as the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. They fell and were overthrown there, and the remainder of the kings fled to the mountain. The victors took all the wealth of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the supply of provisions and departed. And they also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods away with them.
That was the problem, wasn't it? That was the problem. They blew it when they took Lot. They should have just went around Lot completely, skirted Lot, because now they're in trouble. Because God's going to intercede, isn't he? Because Lot is a child of God. He's in the wrong place at the wrong time, or the wrong place in the right time, whatever you want to call it. But now God is going to intervene. God will intervene. So verse 13 now, that's where we are. We're up to here. And Wayavu, Hapilit, Wayaged, Liabram, Hybri, Wihu, Sokim, Bielone, Mamre, Ha Amari, Aki, Eskal, Waahi, Aner, Wiham, Bel Ole, Barith, Abram. (clears throat) 14:13. Brother Roger, Wayavu. Tell me about that Wayavu.
Okay. It's third person, masculine, singular, cal, wow, consecutive, and perfect.
Did he do that right, Sharon? Yeah. How about you, Pamela? Yes. He gets an A plus?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, what's the root of that word, Brother Roger?
The root is, bow.
Bow. All right. That is bow. That is the root. And that is on page 97 in the Brown, Driver, and Briggs, on page 112 in Kohler and Baumgartner, isn't it? That's what those, I'm getting you familiar with all this stuff. We're in 14 and verse 13 of the book of Bereshit. And now, Sharon, would you translate that correctly for me?
He came and kept on coming.
All right, he came and kept on coming. Hapelet, Hapelet. This Hapelet. What about this Hapelet? The Hapelet. Brother Roger?
So you got a definite article of Ha.
Yeah.
And then you have the word Palit, which comes from Palit.
Yeah, it means to escape.
Yeah.
Yeah, it means to escape. That word means to escape. The fugitive or the escaped one. He's on the run, okay? And now, that one's on page 812, by the way. Now, Wayaged. Wayaged. How about that one, Pamela? That's A plus. Okay, Hifel, Wow, consecutive and perfect. What page is that on in Brown, Driver, and Briggs? 616. How about Bolt, Kohler, and Bumgardner? 665. Now we're getting this. We're getting it all down. So we got that word, didn't we? Why Yaged? Why Yaged? We have two dogishes in there that doubles the word, don't we? All right, one in the Yod and one in the Gemel. Why Yaged? And now, Sharon, could you translate that for me?
And he made known and kept on making known?
Uh-huh. He made known and kept on making known. All right, the fugitive. This fugitive, who was this guy? The one that escaped, wasn't he? He was the one that escaped and got back. And then Li Abram. Now, this isn't Abraham, is it? It's Abram. What does Abram mean there, Brother Mike? You remember?
Exalted Father.
Exalted Father. Very good. A plus for you. What about that Lameth in the front of it? Sharon?
That's two.
The Lameth on it? It means two. It's a preposition in it. Page 514 through 17. That's where that one is found. That little Lameth, that preposition. To Abram. And then Ha-Ibri. And here is one of the rare places in the Bible that this word is used. Ha-Ibri. What does Ha-Ibri mean, Brother Roger?
Okay, so Ha is the definite article for the word the.
Uh-huh.
And Ibri is translated the people from across the river.
The people from across the river. All right. What rivers are we talking about, Brother Mike?
Euphrates and Tigris. I don't know about that.
Well, that's good. Euphrates and Tigris. What else? On the other side of Jordan and on the other side of where? They were called the people beyond the river. When they're down in Egypt, they're on the other side of what river?
Nile.
The Nile. So it's always on the other side of the river. The Hebrew. Abraham is definitely called the Hebrew several times in the Bible, and this is one of the rare occasions. And then it says, Wehi, and that means, and he, Sochem. Now, let's conjugate that, Sharon.
Masculine, singular, cow.
Participle.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's all for all of you that aren't looking at this. This is all abbreviated. These people are learning how to read abbreviations. That's why we're doing this. Marilyn, do you have your book open there?
Yes, I have.
Can you tell me about this word dwelling? Since it's a participle, what about it?
Dwelling.
Uh huh. Who's dwelling, by the way? Okay, it's masculine and singular. What does masculine and singular mean, Sharon? It's a he.
Yeah.
Okay. He dwelling. All right, he dwelling. He dwelling. Period. Masculine and singular, cal participle. He dwelling. And when you see that word part there, that means participle, which is a continuing thing in it, one of them gerund things in English. Now, be alone. At the oaks, the terebinths, that is oaks. oak trees, live oaks, live oaks, Mamre, in Mamre. And then it says, Ha-Amari. What about that one there, Pamela? Ha-Amari. What's that first ha on there?
A definite article.
A definite article. All right, a definite article. And Amari. Sharon?
Amorites.
The Amorites. And then it says, Ahi. Ahi means, well, what is the equivalent of Ahi in Greek?
Adelphos.
Adelphos. And what does Adelphos mean, Brother Roger?
Brothers of the same mother.
Okay. Brothers or sisters of the same womb. Okay. Of Ishkal. And brother of Aner. And they, look at that one, Ba'ali. What does that Ba'ali mean? Ba'al. What's Ba'al mean? That means Lord. Lord. All right. Lord. Sharon, you want to read that for us and amplify? Possessions are Lord of the covenant of Abraham.
And then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, meaning the one who came from beyond, who was living by the oaks or the terebinth of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol of Aner, and were allies of Abram.
Fourteen now. I'll try to get you guys to talk so I don't have to talk too much. Wayishma. Avram. Ki. Nishba. Aki. Wayareg. Et. Hanikal. Yilid. Bitol. Shemo, Asher, Yushiloshish, Miot, Wayer, Dope, Ad, Don. Now let's look at this word. Wayishma. Marilyn, could you read that yet? Wayishma, can you read the grammar down below it? Can you conjugate that verb?
Well, third masculine singular, cow, y, omo, third,
Well, consecutive imperfect.
Imperfect.
Okay. All right, well, consecutive imperfect. So you're catching on. And translate that for me, Brother Roger.
Conjugation and...
Yeah, that's and, a and, that's a conjunction on front of it.
I mean, conjunction, yeah.
Yeah.
And the root word is Shema.
To hear. Yeah. And you'll see down there, most of the time I have the root written down below that, don't I?
Mm-hmm.
That's the absolute root of it. It may not look like that on the paper there because it may have prefixes and suffixes and things change, even the roots. A form of it changed because of some grammatical rule or something, but it's there, the Shema. Now, Sharon, what page is that on in Brown, Driver, and Briggs?
1033.
How about Kohler and Baumgartner, Brother Roger? Can you read that?
1570.
See, Baumgartner, Kohler and Baumgartner is a great big two-volume set. All right, now, let's read this. What? How should it read, Sharon?
And he heard and kept on hearing.
And he heard and kept on hearing Abram, exalted father, that, ki. Now, third person, master, seen a Nephel, perfect. Nephal perfect. What's perfect tense tell us, Brother Mike? You remember what perfect tense means?
Now or something.
Huh? How about perfect tense, Pamela?
It is done.
It's a completed action. All right, completed action. Now we have third person masculine and singular, so who is that, Sharon?
He.
He. All right, third person masculine and singular is he. Okay, now let's translate that now in the perfect tense. Brother Roger, tell me how we should translate this Nishmah.
Okay, so he it happened to him that he had been captured.
Yeah, he had been captured. That Nephel is like the passive voice, isn't it? Okay, he had been captured. See that word, Shavah there, Shavah? That's the root, page 985, page 1382 in Kohler and Bumgardner. He had been captured. Aki, his brother, he's going to call him his brother. And then Y-Yagred. What about this Y-Yareg? That third person masculine singing Hifael, wow, consecutive, imperfect. And how do you translate that, Brother Roger?
So, since it's Hifael, it happened to him.
Yes.
And because it happened to him, the action is his brother got led out.
Yeah. And he was led out. He was led out. Out of his place. That word there means to make empty. To make empty. To lead out means to make the place empty. To vacate the place and make it empty. Make it vacuum or vacant. Empty. And then we have an eth there. Eth, what kind of a word is that, Sharon?
Sign of the direct object.
Sign of the direct object. Do you remember what the Greek equivalent to that is? Huh?
Oh, ace.
Ace. All right. Ace. Okay, ace. Do you remember the rule of the direct object?
Only if I'm started out.
The extension?
Or limitation of
Okay, extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. All right. That's the idea of this action. And then Hanukkah. 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 That means tried men, trained men, tested men. Tried men, trained men, tested men. What kind of men were this? Have you ever had any men like this under your Brother Roger?
I've been fortunate to have very trained guys.
You had really trained guys. Now, you're a captain, see? And so a captain, he's over all these other people, all these people down below you. What's the first one below a captain?
First lieutenant.
That's the one right below the captain. Now that first lieutenant is a commissioned officer, isn't he?
Correct.
All right. So he's trained, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And the second lieutenant?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then what's underneath that?
So start down to the enlisted. Sergeant major is the highest.
That's the highest enlisted man.
Yeah.
That's not. He isn't trained, though, is he?
Well,
but he's been trained in action. He's been trained in action in some way before he's a sergeant major, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. He's not a commissioned officer. He didn't go to officer school, but he's been trained in action to get to that point, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are who these are. Who's the general here?
Abram.
Abram's a general. Now, he's got captains on him. He's got all of these lieutenants. All of this. He's got all of these people, and they have been trained. Who trained them?
Abram
trained him. All right, so Abraham's no dummy. He has got an army. He's got his army of trained and tested and tried men. Now, how do you think they were tried? Where had he been going? Abraham been quite a few places, hadn't he? All right, trained men, you led. What does this word yeled mean? Sharon, do you know what that word yeled means?
What says here, children?
Children. Tell me about that word, Brother Roger.
It's
this word yeled.
Little kids.
These are birthed ones.
Yeah.
What's this talking about? These people were trained, they were raised, they were born in Abraham's service. They were born to him in his service. Their mothers and their fathers were his servants, and these were born to him, and he trained them from youth. Now, I don't know what all kind of training they had back then. How many of you ever watched that movie that I have called Grass? Yeah, that's pretty tough people, aren't they, Marilyn?
Yes,
unbelievably tough. Now, the American Indians, one of the toughest Indians that ever walked the face of God's earth, were the Apaches. Okay? When you were 5 years old, an Apache boy has to run 5 miles. Had to run 5 miles now. That's 5 miles. 5 miles over hill and dale and cactus and everything. But there was more to it than that, wasn't it, Brother Roger?
I think he had to have rocks in his mouth.
He had to have, he took a gourd of like a glass of water, and they put it in his mouth, and he ran 5 miles and spit that out 5 miles later. This is trained, isn't it? This is trained. Now that the time he is 12 years old, he runs 20 miles. 20 miles and spits the water out. That's quite a deal. You just try that sometime. Do it for 1 mile.
Is that all of the Apache tribes
that
just...
Now, the Apaches, did they have horses?
Yeah.
Shukawakon, yeah. Now, they had horses. But what did they do with those horses, Brother Roger? They used them for decoration and food. They didn't ride those horses. They rode a horse when they had one. Horse was portable food to them. Now, the Comanches and the Lakota, Dakota and Nakota, those were horsemen. And the Nez Perce, these were horsemen, horse people. These were the horse Indians. The Apache were runners. Apache could run 100 miles in a day, a warrior. 100 miles. That's why they couldn't be whipped. No United States government army, no matter how, if they had 20,000 men, they couldn't whip these people.
Yaquis were like that too. Right?
That's that. They were very closely related. Okay, these people were tough. These are trained warriors. From the very time they're born, they're trained. When they're 5 years old, they're trained to be a warrior. Now let's go back over in the Middle East. That one converted Muslim that we, Salim. When was he, how old was he when he went to war, Sharon? I mean, Marilyn? You remember how old Sharim was when he went to war? No. How old was he when he went and joined the army? He was 7 years old. He was out fighting in the trenches over there in Lebanon when he was 7 years old. He was taught to be a warrior from his mother's table. These people are related. I'm telling you. Now, if you go back and you find this out, you'll find out that these men were trained warriors. They were trained from birth to be warriors. It says here, from when, Brother Roger? From birth. Trained men, tested men from birth. And then it says, children born in his house, Bethel, in his house, Shemonah. Shemonah means eight. Eight, ten, and 300. How many is that, Brother Roger? 8, 10, and 300.
318.
318 men. He had 318 men, super elite Green Berets, so to speak. All right? Apache warriors. 318 trained warriors. Why year daf. And that is third person masculine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. And he chased and kept on chasing and pursued. Odd. You remember what odd means, Sharon? Odd.
Well, I'm going to say as far as.
As far as, but what's the idea, Brother Roger?
On top of
or up to? Odd is like a preposition or adverb of place. Idea of place, okay? The idea of place. And then Don. Don or Dan. What's Dan mean, Brother Mike? You remember? Huh?
No, I don't know what they all mean.
What does Dan mean, Pamela?
I think he's
a judge. Okay. A plus again. You all settled there by her. She'll take you.
They all got special meanings.
Now. All have means, yeah. All of them have meanings. All right. 14:15 now. Why ye halek? Why ye halek? Alehem. Laila. Hugh. Why avado? Why yakem? Why ye defiant? Od. Hava. Asher. Miss Simol. Le Damasek. Yeah, see there? Just like it. I see when you caught that ball. Why ye halek? Conjugate that for me, Pamela. You hear that, brother? Did you hear that, Brother Mike? She's got it. Third person master singing a nephal while consecutive and perfect. Now tell me what that means, Brother Roger.
So, since it's nephal, it's showing the action of doing it.
Yes.
But he didn't stop. He kept on doing it.
He kept on doing it. What caused him to do this? There's a causative in there also, isn't there? Strategy.
Oh.
Strategy. Right. You studied strategy in officer school, didn't you?
Right.
Strategy. So now by strategy, the strategy is going to cause him to divide himself. Divide himself what? His troops. He's going to divide his troops. El Aliham against them. All these guys. I mean, how many kings is he going to fight now?
Five
kings. And he's going to go out there with 318 elite trained men that were born in his house. That just means the ones that were the top men. These are the soldiers. These are the real leaders of the soldiers. How many other men were there? It just names the captains and stuff, doesn't it? It only talks about the elite. But how many were there? How many men did Abraham have? We know he has 318 leaders. Boy, maybe this was 1,000 altogether. He divided himself again them in, and then it said Laila, Laila.
I don't know what that means.
Laila, what's that mean?
Night,
Laila. Halila is the night, all right? Laila. In the night, and then he, and why avado? How about that one, Sharon? You know what that one means?
His slaves.
Yeah, that means a conjunction on the front of that, page 253. And then avad means slave. So what's the Greek equivalent of that? Doulos. Thank you very much. Doulos. These are bought and paid for slaves. He owned these people. And then why Yakim? And we have a conjunction on the front of that one, don't we? And that's third person masculine senior hifel, while consecutive imperfect. And it has a third person masculine plural suffix on it. Isn't this beautiful, Brother Mike? All of that's in one word in Hebrew. In one word. Brother Roger, tell me about this word.
So the mem is the suffix.
Yeah.
So makes it plural.
Yes, it does. Mem.
It has the wa for the and. The word itself is only is constructed out of the one letter there.
Huh? Yes, that's right.
So you have to go back to the root of nakah.
Yeah. So what we have here is that he and he caused them to strike them, and the them there is the third person masculine and plural suffix. He caused them to strike them. He caused them to strike them. And then it says, Vayera defem. Vayera defem. And this one is third person masculine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. And it has a third person masculine plural suffix. So here we have it. We've got an and on the front of it. And he pursued them. And he pursued and kept on pursuing them. Odd. Tell me the idea of odd, Brother Roger.
Preposition of place.
Preposition or adverb of place. And it means as far as. The idea. Of how far it went. And then who is this other one? Hava. 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 As far as Hava. Which? By the way, there's the name Asher. Right there is which is Asher. Messimo. Messimo. From left. From left. From left. From there is left. And then it says, Li Damasek, Damascus, Damascus, Damascus. What about Damascus? Can you tell us anything about it? Have you been in Damascus?
No.
I've been in Damascus for 9 days. I was in Damascus. Most backward place I've ever been in the world, Damascus.
Trying to get out?
What?
Trying to get a plane to get out?
No. Yeah. There was... I went from Damascus, Syria, into... Well, I went from Beirut, Lebanon, which was in war. I went to Damascus, Syria. And then I went into Amman, Jordan, Jordan. And Jordan was having a civil war and chasing all of their bad PLO out of there. And the PLO were coming through Syria and going into Lebanon, where they were killing all the Christians. And so I was in the middle of all of this conglomeration.
Your guy you went with wanted to plan this out, kind of knowing still that there would be some of this war going on, but he wanted to get you in there while you could still manage it, right?
What was that now?
Your friend, who'd you go with, the main guy, when you went back there?
Well, I was with in Brother, D.S. Madden. I was I roomed with him.
He knew there'd be a little bit of trouble, but there's more than he expected.
He'd hit me like this every night. Brother Phillips, do you see that air in the aircraft rifle following us? Brother Phillips, look at those bunkers. This makes me want to dig a foxhole. Yeah, I mean, this is the things he'd say
so
to
he
me.
He wanted to go back into a little bit of war.
No, he didn't want to. He had plenty. He was at Anzio Beach.
He
was at Anzio Beach for I don't know how many weeks.
He wanted to show you all the places.
It just happened that way, Brother Mike. We were on an archaeological tour.
Wasn't supposed to know this.
Well, you know, when you're on an archaeological tour, you don't have all the amenities of going into safe places all the time. When you're on a tour, what we call a tour, like you're going into the land of Israel and all this kind of stuff, you go in there and they kind of keep you safe. But that was secondary to us because we had to go in and look at these tales. Tales. You look at this tale, you look at that tale. And because of this, I have seen things that no one else has seen. Today, in this generation. That was number 1975 and 1976. This was rough stuff over there, I'm telling you. Lebanon was in civil war at that time. PLO was in civil war at that time. And I was in Damascus, the safest place, and they were killing people right and left. And I heard gunfire. You can go listen to those recordings that I took over there. You will hear, Marilyn can tell you, there's plenty of gunfire and bombs going off in the background. Now, when you can hear a bomb and gunfire, Brother Roger, are you safe?
No, it's not a good
Not exactly. Not officially. So we got to see a lot of things over there. We were in the middle of it. Now, those people are raised to fight, aren't they? They're born fighters. That's what they are. The Shonim said that from his mother's breast, he was taught to be a warrior. And they teach him this. It's better to die in jihad than it is a natural death. Why, Brother Roger?
You get to go straight to heaven.
If you die in conflict, if you die in jihad, if you die as a martyr or in war, you get to go straight to paradise.
I heard a thing on talk radio about these 72 birds and things. An older guy went through the language and said that word for virgins is identical to raisins, and it's really 72.
It's not raisins.
Or something like that.
It's not raisins.
And they changed it to tell everybody that it's something else. You know, like
what it says is dark-eyed girls. They don't know the language well enough. The word for dark-eyed means grape eyes. Dark grapes, okay? And the idea is grapes. They use the root is grape. But we're not talking about grapes. We're talking about girls that have large dark eyes like grapes. So we're not talking about raisins at all. We're talking about grapes.
Like they were saying, where you can have all the good food and wine.
These virgins are going to bring in you grapes. And cold drinks of water and all of this. They're going to be bringing this all the time. They're your servants. To the Muslims, a woman is a servant and possessions. And when they go there, they're going to have every man that dies in jihad, that dies in violent jihad, by blowing himself up or out there shooting or stabbing or whatever he's doing, and he gets killed. When Muhammad, he had one guy that just worshipped him. Matter of fact, most of his people worshipped him. The greatest warriors he had with him, like Abu Bakr and all of those, Sa'ad, was his adopted son until he disinherited him. He would go out in battle, and he would sit back and say, "Allah wants you to die in battle. To die in battle today is a great honor." And one guy went out there and fought three or four people at once with his sword, and people would come down, and he kept coming back, and Muhammad said, "You're doing really great, but you're going to die today in battle. Go back and do it again." So this same guy went out there, and I don't know how many men he killed before he died. And while he was dying, he was saying, "Allah Akbar, God is greater, God is greater." Because now he gets to go, except when he woke up. Where was he? In the wrong place. There weren't 72 virgins there. Because the Bible already had sealed it. Do you get another chance over there? No way. If you're in false religion, no way. You're in trouble. You read that story, didn't you? You know what I'm talking about. In the Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq. He tells the story. All of this details of every battle. Every battle. And these people that would follow Muhammad around. Remember the time that he was caught up in this mountain and somebody threw a stone at him and it hit him in the face, and they had mail on him. You know what mail is?
Armor,
mail. It had pieces of metal hooked together, and it hit him in the face so hard that it stuck. It broke through the armor, the mail, and pieces of it was in his face. And one of the warriors went up there and with his teeth and broke his teeth off pulling this mail out of Muhammad's, and of course they would all just want a drop of his blood on them or something. even the sweat off his brow or anything else, they took it and then rub it all over themselves and bless themselves with it. This is worship. Worship. Warring. So we got a war here. We got a war from a long time ago. And this is the way these people fought. And this is the way that Muhammad fought. And his idea of warfare and everything is from the period of time that we go all the way back here. We have no modern warfare at this time at all, do we? We have horses, camels. What was the idea of the camels? What would scare somebody to death, Roger? What about a camel? They had visions of camels, didn't they? What kind of camels that would scare them to death? A long time ago, up here at Fort Tejon, General Beale, and the Jefferson Davis. Jefferson Davis was the secretary, and General Beale, they had an experiment to bring camels over here from the Middle East, and they were going to use camels in the Mojave Desert and places where it's very hard to cross. And so they brought camels over here, and they brought stallion camels. Stallion camels, it takes a very, very good, powerful man to take care of stallion camels. When the female camels would come and heat, these stallion camels fight, and they're powerful, and they have real long fangs, and they bite each other and just rip each other apart. Now, how many of you know what a llama is? A llama is in the camel family. Llamas don't have any major veins on their bodies outside. Their veins are deep. You know why? They slash each other. They are very dangerous things. Many of the times, Muhammad would pray that these people would wake up and see visions of these stallion camels coming at them with their mouths wide open and their teeth flashing. And this was what would scare them off. And he would tell people about this, you know. And they would be, that's what we call psychosomatic. They would believe this stuff.
So they're all females in the
most of the camels that they rode were female camels. And there are female camels that are milk camels. Literally milk camels. That's a different breed. They're actually a different kind of camel. A milk camel. How about a, what is a Hereford?
Hereford?
Yeah. What kind of cow was that?
Red and white.
Yeah, but just red and white. But what's it for?
Meat.
Okay. Now, do they give a lot of milk?
No.
No. How about a Holstein, Marilyn?
They give a lot of milk.
So they're bred different. So they have different breeds of these camels, different kinds of camels. Some of them have one hump and some of them have two humps, don't they? Yeah, these are all different kinds of camels. Most of Muhammad's camels that they used in war were female camels because they are easy to deal with. The male stallions, and they had stallions over here. One of them, they would have camel fights here, like chicken fights and dog fights. They have camel fights over there, okay? And these camels fight, and they'll have this powerful. Camel, and they'll fight him against other camels. Well, the one here that went across the Mojave Deserts and everything, I think Saab or whatever his name was, I can't remember that camel's name. He's buried out here someplace, and there's a monument where that camel is buried. He was a tremendous camel, and I think General Beale really liked that camel. Well, when the Union split up in 1860, of course, Jefferson Davis and the camel experiment out here flopped because the man in the United States, because he became the president of the Confederacy. So that Union, and they turned the camels loose out in Mojave Desert, and a lot of them went wild out there, and there were wild camels out there for years and years. That's part of the history. Well, I heard an old miner told me when I lived in Fish Lake Valley that he saw wild camels out there still. Now, I haven't ever seen a wild camel, but he said he saw them. Now, I don't know what they did with them, whether the Indians killed them and ate them or whatever. You know, the Muslims eat camel like that's filet mignon. They like camel humps and whatever. Let's go back now. Now he raised these slaves to be warriors, and he struck them, and he pursued them and kept on pursuing them as far as Haba, which is out from to Damascus, Damascus, Syria. By the way, if you go to Damascus, Syria, which you won't, it's not safe to go to Damascus, Syria. It wasn't safe to go to Damascus, Syria when I was there. But if you go over there, they'll show you where the Garden of Eden was. They'll swear up and down that the Garden of Eden was near there, right outside of Damascus there. They'll show you some very old tales. What is a tale? What's a tale?
What you were talking about, your archaeological...
It's a hill.
A tale is what, Sharon?
It's a hill where ruins of an old ancient site, a city, and the dust is kind of blown up and it just kind of...
And they built on top of it, and then they built on top of that. They never cleared an area off and built. They just built on top of the rubble. A tell is an area where there are many tell. It tells you something.
San Francisco.
Yeah. San Francisco was built upon
rubble.
But you see these tells, and they dig down. Marilyn was watching the show on television here a while back, talking about Cleopatra. Mm-hmm. Cleopatra, the Pharaoh, the Queen Pharaoh of Egypt. And they were looking for her, and they were going down through tells, weren't they? Different levels of tells. Well, we'd go out there and look at these tells. And one of the most interesting tells where I was, I mean, I've been in Megiddo, Jericho. Jericho is tremendous. Jericho is an old, old city. You've been there in Jericho. It's all. And the walls of Jericho, the original walls of Jericho, what happened to those walls of Jericho? Sharon, do you remember what happened? They just fell down into the ground. They didn't fall over. They didn't crumble. The walls, the ground opened up and ate the walls. Do you know that? How many of you knew that? Now, you know that because you've been there. The ground just sunk. The walls just disappeared. They went down in the ground, and you go over there, and those walls are still standing, but they're underground. Underground.
I saw that on
television. Yeah, well, I showed pictures of it in my class. Were you here when I did the classes that I did on, I was on Sunday school?
Did you pick up artifacts and bring them back with
you? Oh, no.
From anywhere?
You don't. I picked up rocks, but my rocks were all stolen with my desk.
Pottery, no, nothing like that.
Actually, I have some from Jericho.
From where?
From Jericho, because they were the ones that the archaeologists...
I had a rock from Jericho. I had a rock from Masada. I had a rock from just little pebbles. I had
pottery or rock?
Yeah, I have some pottery shards. I mean, it's just broken... pieces.
Yeah. Now they will sell this to you. They're little bitty hawkers. They're hawking this stuff in different places. Old Roman coins and Greek coins and things. You can buy this when you're over there. You'll see this kind of stuff. But when you go into a tell, you don't get to touch it, do you?
Well, this was their trash pile.
Oh, okay.
We could.
Oh, okay.
They'd already taken out everything.
Yeah, but you don't. Yeah,
you don't
if the you get the you get the refuse. You get the pile over there, but you don't get one here. I had one off of the Mount of Olives. I had one off of Jerusalem. I had one from Bethlehem. All little stones. But, you know, if everybody went there and picked up these stones, they wouldn't have any rocks left in the land. But that's one thing I did. And I had all of them on my desk at one time, and then my desk was taken. All right, now, Yasev, Et, Kol, Harekus, Wigam, Et, Lot, Aki, Urekusal, Hisir, Wigam, Et, Hanashim, Wiet, Ha'am. Wish I can get over this cold soon.
You don't want a cough, sir. Drop me in.
I've got one. Thank you, though. Yasev. Yasev. What about this Yasev there, Brother Roger? Tell me about why yourself.
Masculine singular hifal, wow, consecutive and perfect.
All right. Third person, masculine singular hifal, wow, consecutive and perfect. And Brown, Driver, and Briggs, what page is that on, Brother Roger?
It's at 996.
996. Kohler and Baumgartner, what page is it on, Sharon?
1427.
All right. Now you got those numbers down. See, I'm getting a little more out of you all the time. And what is the root of this word, Brother Roger?
Shiv.
What is it?
It's like shiv.
Shiv. Shin, wow, bath. All right. That's the root. And is YSF. YSF. That's what this word is. Third person, master, senior, hifal, wow, consecutive, and perfect. And Sharon, would you translate that for me? Uh-huh. And kept on bringing back. All right, he brought back and kept on bringing back. It is just the sign of the direct object. And what does that mean? Extension or limitation or thought or verbal action. Call means what? All. Call means all. All, and then a habrikus. Habrikus, brother. Mike, what's habrikus? Pamela, what's habrikus? And I want you to explain that to me. All right? Habrikus. Yeah.
Property.
What kind of property?
Portable property.
Okay, now what kind of portable property are they bringing back?
Camels.
Well, they didn't bring any buildings with them, did they? So they had sheep and goats. They had clothing. They had money. Mm-hmm. All of this. Now, let me tell you a little something else about this old idea. When the Arabs would go out, or these Hebrews would go out, and they become successful in a raid, which he did, they would come back, and the Akri, the Rosh, they would take and they would pile up all of the booty out there. And guess what? They would take the top part off the head, the top part, and give it to God or give it to somebody. So now we're going to see that take place pretty soon. Abraham is going to take out and pile all that booty up out there, and he's going to start giving all of this stuff to those guys. But guess what he does first?
He ties
to who?
God.
Melchizedek. Priest of the Most High God. Now, was Abraham a priest?
Yes,
he was. Was he a head priest of his whole family? Yes. Whoever this guy of Melchizedek was, we don't know. He had no mother, no father, it says in the book of Hebrews, but he was a priest of the Most High God. And some people think that he was actually Jesus in his pre-incarnate form, and some people don't. Whatever. And he brought and kept on bringing back all of the portable property, which means camels, goats, sheep, horses, pottery, clothing, silver and gold, and also Wigam, and also Et Lot. Lot. What does Lot mean, Brother Mike? You remember that one? Lot. 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 What does it mean, Pamela? Dark and hidden. That's what his name means. Dark. Secretive. Aki. His brother. All right. His brother. Lot, his brother. Now, he talks about his brother as being what? His close relative. He was actually his nephew, wasn't it? Wasn't his brother. His brother's son. But he calls him his brother because he's from the same family. And his brother, portable property. And then his serve. That is third person master singular hifel perfect. Look at that one. Translate that word his serve, Brother Roger. How would you translate?
The same root that we saw before, siv, is the action of bringing back.
Bringing back, returning, turning back. It means to turn back, doesn't it?
And so since it's third person masculine singular, it's a he doing it, and he did it because it's perfect in a past.
All right, he had brought back, isn't it? That's why it should be correctly translated. He had brought back. And also, et hanashim. Hanashim. Women. The women. We et ha'am. Ha'am. What's ha'am mean? Ha'am.
Well, it's people, but like relatives, clan.
Relatives, family. A clan, people, family. All right? And his family. All right? He brought back Lot, his portable property, and his children, wife, all of this. Now, according to the book of Jasher, he had more than two daughters, didn't he? One of them was murdered by the Sodomites. Okay? Let's go to 14:17 now. 14:17. Wayitzu, Melech, Sodom, Likrato, Kari, Shavol, Mehakoth, Et, Kedar Lomer, Et, Ha Melakim, Asher, Ito, El, Emek, Showeh, Hu, Emek, Hamelech. Sharon, would you conjugate this word for me, please?
Which one?
Wayitzu. You know, people out there on the internet, I get notes from them all the time. They said, you have the smartest students in the world.
I'm just reading.
So I want you to know that. They say that you are the smartest students in the world. Now, translate that for me, Sharon.
And he went out and kept on going out.
All right, Melech.
The king.
King, Melech. All right. What was that king's name? What was the one that was a type of Christ? What was his name? Melchizedek. Melchizedek. Melech is in that word, isn't it? Melchizedek. What other word is in Melchizedek, Brother Roger? What other word is in there?
Holy.
Holy or righteous. It means king of righteousness. Melchizedek. And here we have the king of not righteousness, Sodom. The king of Sodom. Likroto. And here we have an unusual word. Pamela, tell me about this word, likroto. Conjugate that for me. No. Lick roto. How about that, Roger? Lick roto.
It's not the preposition. It's the other one.
No, it's a preposition.
Is it the preposition? Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's a preposition.
So the lament is a preposition.
The preposition, which makes it in, that turns, sometimes we got the idea of the sign of the infinitive. So what do we have here, Sharon? Infinitive construct,
cal stem.
So that means to meet him. To meet him. And then akhtori, that means after his returning, his to return. Look at this one now. Infinitive construct, cal stem. Suffix, third person masculine singular. To meet him. Third person masculine senior, singular suffix. To meet him. That shuvo. All right. to meet him or to return to him. From Mehakoth. Mehakoth. Now here we have from to strike him. From to strike. From to strike. Now he's returning back from his striking. And Muhammad said, when you run into an infidel, when you run into a Christian, a pagan, when you get them, you strike off their necks. Strike off their necks. Strike off their heads. That's what he told them to do. And that's the word right there, to strike off. From striking them. So there was a lot of beheading out here. From striking them, Kedar Lomer. All right. Kedalomer means what? Do you remember what that means? Kedalomer? It means a star or a comet, and it means a short fuse. Short fuse. It means to be ready for battle all the time. Ready for battle. Ready for a battle. And the kings, Ha Melekith, Et Ha Melekim, and the kings which, Ito, that is, what about that word Ito, Roger?
So, it's masculine.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
it comes from what? What is the root of it? The sign of the direct object is the root, isn't it?
Right.
Okay, but with a suffix. And so the suffix is masculine, and it means with him, the people that were with him. Okay? And then we have El, which is a preposition. That's unto. And then we have Emek, which means a deep valley or a deep area, an impression in the land. The San Joaquin Valley is a long, deep valley, isn't it? So it's talking about the deep veil, the deep valley or the deep veil. And then Shaveh, it, valley of the kings. Valley of the kings. One more, and I'll turn you loose on the world. Umalaki. Sedek. Melek. Shalim. Hosi. Lehem. Wayayin. Wihu. Kohen. Liel. Eloyon. This is beautiful. This is what we were talking about a few minutes ago. Now what he's going to do is he's going to pile up all of the goodies out there, all the booty, and he's going to take the top, the best, and he's going to give to Melchizedek. Not only a tithe, but the best of it. The top of the cream of the crop. Like you are the cream of the crop of my students. Umalkitzek, Melchizedek, King of Righteousness. That word Sadek there, that means righteousness. Dikaiosune, Dikaiosune in Greek. Melek, King of Salem. What does Salem mean? Peace, but what does it really mean? Agreement. You don't have peace until you have an agreement. I might say this just. In going, George Bush said that the Muslim religion is a religion of peace, did he not? Condoleezza Rice said that the Muslim religion is a religion of peace. Bill Clinton said the same thing. And Obama has said the same thing. Now, I want you to test the waters just for a moment. Is Islam a religion of peace? There's like 58 nations in the world that is 100% Islam. In those nations, is there peace? Is there freedom of religion in those nations? Absolutely not. Is there anything peaceful in them? What kind of rights does a woman have, Sharon? She's property, isn't she? Okay. How about if you're a Christian and living in those countries? And how about if you're a Christian in Saudi Arabia? How about Mecca.
If you could stay alive, you pay 20% of taxes and can't have any...
You can't mention Jesus.
Or talk.
Yeah. Is that the only... that when they? What does the word Muslim mean, Roger?
To submit.
It means what?
To submit.
It means to surrender.
Surrender.
They say we'll have peace when all of them surrender. When all other religions surrender, we'll have peace. The Jesus, or Isa of Islam, is going to come back in the last days. And what's his job? What's his first thing he's going to do, Brother Roger?
Kill the Jews.
He's going to kill all the Jews. Is that peaceful? This is it. Going to kill all the Jews. And then who's going to kill next, Sharon? All the Christians, and he's going to break the cross and all other religions. And then what he's going to do after that? He's going to kill all the pigs. Poor, innocent pigs that are smarter than most of them are. All right? Melchizedek, king of Salem. And he brought out, he had brought out bread, lehem. What does lehem mean, Brother Roger?
Food.
Does that really mean bread?
It means food.
It means all kinds of food. And then how about wayayin?
So it's fruit of the vine.
That's that. Now we have all types of food. We have meat. We have bread. We have yogurt. All of that is lehem, okay? And then we have wine. Genomatos teison plu. Oinos in the New Testament. Or genomatos teison. The fruit of the vine, that is wine. In it. So he's going to give to this, to Melchizedek, he's going to give all kinds of food and wine. And he is a priest to God the Most High, El Elyon. El Elyon. The God Most High.
And plus, since he's a Kohen, he's a high priest.
That's right. Kohen means high priest. The name Cohen, when you see somebody by the name of Cohen, that means priest. That name means priest.
Cohen.
What?
Cohen
means, that is a Hebrew term. And I want to read something to you real quick. Hebrews, the 7th chapter. I think we ought to read this, finishing this off. 7:1 says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God," that's right out from Genesis 14th chapter, "who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings." The word slaughter there, that means to strike the next, doesn't it? Okay? The slaughter of the king. And what do you do with an animal? How is a kosher way to slaughter an animal? To cut its throat. All right? So all these people have slaughtered. That the word slaughter means to cut the throat or chop the head off. The kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all the spoils. What part of the spoils was this? Not only a tenth, but what, Sharon?
The best.
A tenth of the best. Was first of all, by the translation of his name, king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, which is a king of peace. And that is that not our Savior? King of righteousness, king of peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, who abides a priest perpetually. Now observe how great this man was, to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the choicest spoils. And those indeed of the sons of Levi who receive the priest office have commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from the brethren, although these are descendants from Abraham. But the one whose genealogy is not traced from them collected a tenth from Abraham. You know what this says here? But the one whose genealogy is not traced from them collected a tenth from Abraham. This means that Abraham tithed to his descendant Jesus. And here is tithing in the New Testament too, by the way. This is first instituted. I want you to understand that. When you tithe, your children are blessed by it. When you tithe, your children are blessed by it. In all reality, and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. But the one whose genealogy is not traced on them collected the tenth from Abraham and blessed the one who had the promises. But without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the greater. And in this case, mortal men receive tithes, but in that case, one receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives on. Who are they tithing to here? Jesus. And so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, who received and paid tithes. Who? Through Abraham. Do you bless your children with what you give to the Lord? 1,000 years later, 500 years later, 200 years later, the God puts it on your account and your family to bless them. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. You understand what I'm talking about here? This is beautiful stuff. You want to leave a legacy for your children, tithes to the Lord. Go out and do things eternal. Is it going to bless them? Did it bless them? We have an example here, don't we? We have a type, we have a metaphor, we have an allegory, we have a simile. We have all of this. A parable. A parable of good works. Now, if perfection was through the Levite priesthood, on the basis of it, the people received the law, and what further need was there for another priest to rise according to the order of Melchizedek, not to be designated according to the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of law also. We're talking about New Testament now. Hekin adiatheke. For the one concerning whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, for which one has officiated at the altar. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe ace to which Moses spoke nothing concerning the priest. And this is clear still. If another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become such not on the basis of the law or the physical requirement, according to the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is a setting aside of a former commandment, because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there was a bringing into of a better hope, through which we draw near to God, inasmuch it was not without an oath. For they indeed became priests without an oath. But he with an oath through the one who has said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, thou art a priest forever. So much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. And the former priests on the one hand existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he on the other hand, because he abides forever, holds his priesthood permanently, forever, eternally, olam. Aston. Verse 25. Hence also he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent. Did any of the other ones, were they actually like that? No. Innocent. Undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those other priests, high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first of all for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people, because he did it once for all, when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. How more perfectly could you end that class than like that. We have a perfect tichrism. And we started from 4, 14, 12 through 18. We made a little bit of progress. 14, 12 through 18. And I guess before I see you next time, it's going to be another month. It's going to be a month, another month. Did you learn something tonight? What did you learn tonight? You write something down that you learned? Brother Mike, did you learn something?
I always learn little things.
Yeah. Pamela, did you get something underneath your little hat?
Yeah.
Brother Roger? Mary Lynn? You made notes. Sharon, did you get something? All right. Well, let's go out and do something eternal. Brother Mike, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Thank you for...